Hello, friends. Here we are back on episode 34 of James for You by Sam Alberry. We're doing this little breakdown of this. We're in chapter 9 of that book, but actually reading in chapter 5 of the book of James in the Bible. And we ended up yesterday talking about the proper context or the proper definition of the word suffering. And when we talk about those who've gone before us or the shoulders that we're standing on in the world of Christian warriors or strong figures in that world, then we're looking at people like Abraham, Isaac, Moses, David, the disciples. These are people who were beaten and bruised and burned and boiled in oil and all kinds of crazy stuff. And so recognizing what the suffering servant actually looks like also helps us put into perspective why God allows suffering in our own lives. Again, I was speaking pretty hard about how we need to not define our little American obstacles as full-blown suffering. Now, we do experience suffering in this world, but again, if we define that properly, then we're going to be able to see what that looks like, what actual suffering looks like. So then when we experience it, then we can be able to understand that that God is allowing something for a greater purpose. You know, we see that evil can only be conquered by good, and that requires sacrifice. And Jesus and all of these Christ-like figures that we've spoken about throughout Scripture displayed a life of sacrifice. So we can't subscribe to a so-called Christian life, our own Christian world, where there is no suffering. Christianity is based on the example of sacrifice and suffering, but it is, like I say, it's a purpose that we know is coming. Let's jump back to verses 7 and 8, and this is, of course, in chapter 5 of the book of James. Therefore, brothers and sisters, be patient until the Lord's coming. See how the farmer waits for the precious fruit of the earth and is patient with it until it receives the early and the late rains. You also must be patient. Strengthen your hearts because the Lord's coming is near. Now, patience is not just some magic wand idea that God waves over you where you're all of a sudden, where you just don't care what's happening or you're unaffected by everything in the world. And honestly, even if we're talking about in these obstacles, you know, I was speaking about at the beginning of the episode, the first episode of this week, where I'm talking about hard characters and where they're obstacles, or as we hear in Hebrews 12, these hindrances that get in our world. Patience is something that we need to ask the Lord to help us with, and whether it be just a small obstacle or full-blown suffering. And it's not, like I say, it's not just a wand where he says, you're no longer affected by this. Patience is learning how to weather the storm or the obstacle in expectation of what is to come, in expectation of who is to come. Okay, so in the book, Sam Alberry gives us a picture of what this verse really meant. And I'm going to read a large section of it, so just listen closely. Rains in that part of the world came at two points of the year. The early rains in October and November after the crop was sown, and then another rainy period in March and April. Between these times, the father might need regularly to tend the ground and keep the weeds at bay, but he could do nothing at all to accelerate the process of bringing the crops to harvest. He had to wait. He knew the rain would come, and with it, the harvest. It would happen, but it had not yet happened. He just needed to exercise patience. That is to wait with confidence. This is not just a convenient illustration. The crop was valuable to the farmer because it would have been, by and large, the food his family depended on. The process of patiently waiting for the rain was part of survival. There was no other way to live. Furthermore, James is making an important theological point in this. Knowing how well his predominantly Jewish readers knew the Old Testament, James could have been confident that they would have picked up on the connection he was making to Deuteronomy 11, and this is verses 13 through 14. It says, so if you faithfully obey the commands I am giving you today to love the Lord your God and to serve him with all of your heart and with all of your soul, then I will send rain on your land in its season, both autumn and spring rains, so that you may gather in your corn, new wine, and olive oil. Isn't that beautiful? You see this connection, that Old and New Testament running together, and the promises that God made, not just about our standing, our election in the kingdom of heaven once we've received Jesus as our Lord and Savior, but we see Him promising just the basic things that I'm going to provide for you. So let's talk about the ways that might look in our current times. And I ask this question, are we living in expectation of the rain that God has promised? In other words, are we trusting God? I mean, that's a question that I would encourage you as you turn off this podcast for today, that you actually stop and ask the Lord to show you where it is that you're not trusting Him. Every single one of us have that issue, and the line gets blurred easily. We say, I trust you, God, and we really do, and then something happens to sort of throw us backwards. We start to doubt. We have a fear of failure. We have a fear of rejection. We have so many fears, and that throws us backwards. And so I would definitely say to you to ask God to show you where it is. So I'm going to name a couple of things here in this episode that I think that in our culture show that we're really not trusting God. And so anyways, number one, currently in our culture, it's not likely that we'll be put to death for our faith. But we all know that seasons are shifting and that we have to entertain that thought is very possible. And I was saying that, I think it was yesterday, that the seasons are shifting in our culture to where we need to be setting up a legacy of endurance, of considering at pure joy that we're actually full-blown suffering for the gospel, not in just some basic, I'm suffering because, you know, the rain is hard and I want to get to the movies on time or whatever. That's not suffering. We're talking about people dying, people being persecuted for the gospel. Here's another thought. Even if we are not asked to do, and I'm sorry, I'm reading my notes here as I've already said some of this, but even if we're not asked to do this, are we training the generations after us to be ready and willing by our most basic example of laying down our lives every single day? You know, there's some basic things that we have to struggle with in our own spirit. Things like, yelling in traffic, or women emasculating our husbands in front of our children. And that's really denying self. And there is some suffering involved in that because you're putting something to death inside of you so that the children can see, wait, she totally could have said this, that, or the other. Or that guy just pulled out in front of her. She totally could have cussed at him and yelled at him, but she didn't. She chose a higher route. And this, of course, is directed towards men and however that will work. There's some very basic ways. There's also when our schedule is so cram-packed, but we see that there is a need in a moment where it would be far more convenient just to pass by that need. But they see you lay down your schedule. That's laying down your life for the glory of the kingdom. And that matters. And as I said, dealing with difficult people is absolutely a part of this. And I'm moving on to another thing that we in our culture maybe are not living in expectation of the rain. I mean, let me double back to that first point. Where we're talking about passing on to other generations, the watching us lay down in our most basic example, the basic examples of everyday life. Are you expecting God to do great things through that and through your life? I think we should expect Him to do it in the most inconvenient moments. I mean, I think we should stop trying to define God and how He should work every day. It's important that we let Him do whatever He wants, whenever He wants, and we're obedient in those inconvenient times. So, and as I started to say, we're dealing with difficult people. It's absolutely a part of our lives. We're to die to ourselves in order that the love of Christ might be known. That does not mean that we don't tell the truth, but we also learn the difference between the truth and an opinion-based statement that we wrap in Scripture. We learn that Jesus died because of the Father's love for us, and that's what He has to drive us in discipling others. Like, do we realize, again, this goes back to dying to ourselves. If we realize that we are living such in our opinion more often than not, then we'll die to ourselves in that way. We'll lay down our lives, and then we'll expect the rain. We'll trust God to be the one to do the majestic thing, and not just us. We have so much faith in our words. And as we've learned through the course of James, our words are faulty as they come from our wretched hearts, and we can't trust them. Okay, so we're already at a point where I need to go ahead and break for the day. I'll come back in tomorrow and do a quick summary of these first two, and then I'll move on to the third thing in our culture where we are not expecting the rain that God can deliver. All right, friends, talk to you soon. Bye.